This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Were evacuated, approximately 5,400 Americans. We continue to have the capability to evacuate and fly out those until the very end. But as you talk about active peace, we're continuing to work with Department of State on that and continue evacuation and military operations.
That was William Hank Taylor. He is the United States Army Major General, who is the Deputy Director for Regional Operations and Force Management of the Joint Chiefs or the Joint Staff since June of 2020. Before that, he was the Senior Advisor to the Ministry of Defense of Afghanistan. You can only imagine what he's seen. And it is the last of what now has been the longest war for the U.S., 20 years, and the last C-17 left Hamid Karzai Airport on Tuesday, and that's it at this point. And there are people that have been left behind, and there are questions as to, after this U.S. exit from Afghanistan, ending this 20 years of war, what happens next? Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, as we roll through yet another week at the tail end of the summer, getting ready for Labor Day, and we are laboring through some pretty tough things. I think we lost our breath, and it really hammered on so many of our hearts what happened over the weekend. The 13 service members, as I talked about them all individually on my previous show, that were brought back in, coffins that were wrapped, or cases, as they call them, wrapped with the flag and very delicately handled. That transition is so beautifully done for an awful, awful thing that has happened, where somebody is with them at all times, every single one, just really tugs at you. And that happened on the weekend over at Dover Air Force Base, and the family spoke with the president. And now this is the last of the last. The longest war is over. It's done. We're out, and the numbers were staggering, even in getting out all the people that could possibly get out before it was too late, right? And there was perhaps a sense of calm that maybe washed over some, and then a sense of angst over others, I think, as well. 1,200 people were airlifted from Kabul in 24 hours leading up to Monday morning. The total evacuations, 116,000 evacuations in the past 2 weeks. A few hundred people were waiting outside the airport perimeter, but they were kept a pretty big distance by Taliban fighters guarding that area. A few planes, mostly C-17, large military transport aircraft, took off and turned west into the sun. And, survivors of a family, there was a family at home in Kabul, and survivors say that a U.S. drone strike that targeted a Jeep that was filled with explosives killed 10 people, including 7 children, on Sunday. Unfortunately, it's an ugly word. That's that collateral damage, that word that comes up when it comes to strikes. But there were 2 strikes that were made in retaliation for what happened to 13 service members. So 2 huge strikes, and 2 bombers were taken out, supposedly, and others who were mastermind types, strategic types, on these missions to kill as many people as possible. So they were taken out of the equation. We're certainly not done in assessing what the Afghanistan occupation meant. The last plane flies out, but what does it mean for, first of all, the people that are left, maybe fewer than 200 Americans in Afghanistan after the withdrawal and trying to get them out, and others as well who helped military in their quest to know what was going on with the Taliban, etc., and to be able to work with them and in a training capacity, etc. So the U.S. Central Command leader, Frank McKenzie, the general, Marine Corps general, said in his own briefing on Monday in Washington that the Americans who wanted to leave and who were not evacuated number in the very low hundreds. The Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, also backed that up, saying, "We believe there's about 200, maybe closer to 100, who are in Afghanistan and want to leave. We're trying to determine that." And on the final flights out of Kabul's international airport, McKenzie said that no Americans were evacuated where the U.S. evacuation mission was located. So it was all about scrambling and getting as many people out as possible, and obviously it's heartbreaking, right? In fact, McKenzie did say when pressed that if we had stayed another 10 days, we still don't know if, you know, we could have gotten them out, but we would have had a better shot at that. There would have been more people, so we're disappointed. You know, in the military, and many of you have served, understand that, like, in a much different way for people who are goal-oriented, there's the task, and you want to do it to the best of your ability. You wanted to get everybody out. That's weighing heavy, I think, on a few, and it shouldn't, because they did an amazing thing. Forget the chaos in the setup of it, not actually those in the military who did what they were ordered, who moved mountains and did everything they could to get as many people out. They should absolutely think of it as a success from that point of view, seriously. The people that were there at the gates, the people that were there in loading it, all of that. It was about also protecting the lives of the troops, securing the prospect of civilian departures for those who want to leave Afghanistan in the next weeks and months ahead. If they had dug in and stayed and there was some kind of attack, another attack, it would have been disastrous. So 123,000 civilians since the end of July evacuated, and 6,000 Americans wanting to leave Afghanistan had been evacuated or left the country. So there is that murky gray area of how many Americans are left. How many Afghans who assisted U.S. forces in the 20-year war are left, right? A lot got out on the special immigration visas, but how many are left? It is about the hurricane here in the United States, Ida, and what happened in Louisiana and Mississippi, and now what's going to happen in some other areas like Tennessee when it comes to flooding. But there's no question that Ida left her mark, intense, and it's lots of people in the dark, especially in New Orleans. We're talking about it next.
Millions of Americans are preparing for food shortages. No wonder, with increasing bizarre news headlines, water shortages, and the trucking crisis, we're seeing the early warning signs. Food shortages can happen overnight, catching you completely by surprise. That's why it makes good sense to secure some emergency food kits while you can. Emergency food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage, unlike grocery store food that goes bad fast. The company to trust is My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families in recent years. Our food kits give you over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs under stress to survive. We ship fast and discreet to your door. You'll have your food within days, too, not weeks or months. Our mission is your survival. Our food could definitely be a lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. So don't wait. It's time to act. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today. Oh, yeah. The thing that is the buzz across the land besides the longest war ending and then the repercussions of what that will be. But imagine it's 16 years to the day when Katrina walloped into Louisiana. I mean, just slammed New Orleans and the amount of damage and the loss of life and everything that followed and the search and rescues and the sad stories. Much different this time around, although so much damage. But the good news is the $14.5 billion system of levees, barriers, and pumps that protect New Orleans held pretty firmly. I mean, that's got to be the biggest test since Katrina. And I toured that area and got a look at the difference of what now it looks like there. And it was significant as it was explained to me, and that's the good news. I mean, there were buildings that were razed in some areas and et cetera. And so houses on stilts. But then there were so many buildings that crumbled because of Ida. So there was damage, and New Orleans, without electricity, all 8 transmission lines that delivered power to the city knocked out, gone. And they say some power outages could last for weeks. In fact, the word to some people is if you're in Dallas, Houston, or you escape to any place else, you might think about staying there because it's going to be a wild couple of weeks, and you're not going to have the creature comforts of a lot, like a refrigerator, right? Or your air conditioning working properly. So weeks of darkness, yeah. I think some people, if they certainly if they can, will stay away. And then because of the flooding in some areas, the other, oh boy, is remember, it's a swamp. Imagine the heat, how crippling that would be. And then think about alligators, right? Because they would be there. And they're warning people. You know, even the mayor of Lafitte, Cynthia Sheng, warned, remember, there's alligators out there. I mean, of course they are, because they all get washed up. And then you have the Category 4 hurricane flooding most of Jefferson Parish, overpowering their levees, their flood defenses, which were strengthened after Katrina, but they're on the weaker side. So most power coming into homes is from generators. And then what do you have to worry about with generators? Poisoning themselves, people poisoning themselves accidentally, carbon monoxide. It's interesting. It weakened to a tropical storm. It passed over Mississippi on Monday, but you still have flood warnings in place for Mississippi, Tennessee, and Kentucky. But it goes further northeast throughout the week and is completely pretty much weakened by the time it hits New England. But think about some of the areas that got hit by Tropical Storm Andre and the fact that they could get 3 inches of rain where you had soil that was completely saturated. And now you get that. Wow. So there are energy crews from other areas and from Louisiana who are working like mad to try to restore power after Hurricane Ida. But they're saying it's going to take days even to look at the power grid and assess properly the damage. So some buildings destroyed. Dark, of course, because it goes out, the power goes out. And you have 2 people that are confirmed dead because of the storm. But that death toll could go up considerably in the next couple of days. I'm just thinking of the people who want to come back, which you can imagine as the waters are receding, who wouldn't want to come back and assess the damage. But you think about no air conditioning, you think about no power, and you think of what do you do in those circumstances and who can you share power with? And then what about businesses? Opening businesses and people being able to recharge devices, maybe charging stations for phones and everything else. But the fact that you had 2,000 miles of transmission lines down, wow. Cable snap, damaged buildings, uprooted trees, debris spread, of course. Cars that looked like they were sunk. Lights that hung from single cables. And make no mistake, this was a scary, dangerous storm. I mean, the feds have even sent 200 generators to the area because they know people are stuck trying to figure out what to do. If they didn't get out, and can they get out, and where are they going, and all of that in between. Along that Gulf area, you know exactly what I'm talking about, how tough it is, right? How tough it is whenever there's a big storm brewing. And that power outage, I think, is really that. And then still some flooding, of course, in some of those parishes, and then trying to get away from it and your house just being completely destroyed on a bottom floor or other parts of it destroyed, and then just trying to pick that up from catastrophic damage. And think about it, it was the 5th strongest ever to hit the U.S. in all these years, 5th strongest. That tells you something. And watching it unfold live Boy, I have to tell you, it was scary. No, I lived through a hurricane as a kid. It was one of the most devastating Hurricane Agnes. And I remember what that was like. And in some ways, it reminded me of it. People scrambling, making decisions, and then those that decided they were going to stay. And looking out at their neighbor's property and trying to tend to people in the community who didn't stay. Who didn't stay. So no power, possibility of alligators in some areas, and all kinds of other problems with this cleanup. Get it done, figure it out. With that happening, that is the obstacle. That's one of the big, big obstacles. How do we mop this up, keep people safe, and get them back to the area so they can assess damage and figure out what they need to do? And how bad was it? Because there are houses that were fine and others that were completely, like, just ripped apart looking. And if you know anything about flood damage, it's really tough if you had water up to your chest or more. So not only are you fighting for your life and your children's life and anyone else with you, but then you're looking at that damage and in your mind you have to be assessing, oh, there's just no way. When this recedes, when this goes out, what are we left with? Right? And the answer is, if you're pumping water out and it's really big time water, if you're really stuck and rebuilding isn't an option, because some people will say that, then I think some of those people will not come back to Louisiana, will not come back to Jefferson Parish, won't come back to Lake Charles, won't do any of that, because they don't want to be stuck. And they don't want to live in the same place and flip it and make it look really good and then worry about the onslaught of possibilities of tropical storms and hurricanes. They just want to take a breath. They want to relax, right? They want to not be on edge. And can you blame them if they are on edge? Of course not. Of course not. Remember, you can always send me your thoughts, kate@katedelaneyradio.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Thousands in Louisiana are still without power, according to Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards. He said Sunday evening that electricity is practically non-existent for most people in southeast Louisiana and that 25,000 linemen are in the state working to restore power. Regional power supplier Entergy says that it could be up to 3 weeks before power is restored to some of the hardest hit areas by Hurricane Ida. The company estimates that 90% of its customers would see power restored sooner. The Louisiana Department of Health has also confirmed that a second person has died in the storm. The department said in a Monday evening tweet that a man drowned in his vehicle when he tried to drive through floodwaters near I-10 in New Orleans. Officials have issued evacuation orders around the Lake Tahoe Basin as the Calder Fire continues to burn through Northern California. More than 3,500 firefighters are working to control the blaze, which is 14% contained. The fire has burned through 277 square miles since it started on August 14th, destroying more than 600 structures. This is USA Radio News. As Hurricane Ida slammed Louisiana with devastating winds, heavy rains, and dangerous storm surges on the 16th anniversary of the landfall of Hurricane Katrina, one vital piece of infrastructure survived the storm. Lance Pry explains.
Hurricane Ida hit landfall Sunday stronger than Hurricane Katrina 16 years earlier to the day. In fact, it was tied for fifth as the strongest hurricane to make landfall in the United States since records have been kept. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards tells Fox News the multi-billion-dollar levee system is paying off.
You have to remember that in Hurricane Katrina 16 years ago, it was really the failure of the levee that caused the worst part of that disaster by far. What I can report tonight is the hurricane risk reduction system, the protection system that has been really very much strengthened in the 16 years since Katrina. By the way, about $14 billion worth of investment there. It's holding up extremely well.
This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Here on the show, I mean, it's just a heavy, heavy start to the week. You think of the 13 U.S. service members killed in the Afghanistan bombing. We remembered them last night. Awful to see that at the gate, at the so-called Abbey Gate at Hamid Karzai Airport in Kabul. And now it's the reality that the U.S. is done, gone. The last plane carrying U.S. forces left Afghanistan in the afternoon on the 31st Afghanistan time. So just gone. That's it. 20 years longest war. I have more thoughts on that, and we'll share them throughout the week. And, of course, you've had so many people on talking about it. Meantime, while that's going on and we deal with the realization that there are still some Americans that are left behind, and of course those that helped Americans, which is disheartening, and I know there's going to be efforts to try to get them out, but how tough will that be with the Taliban in power and then the thousands of ISIS terrorists who were released from prison that are now right there and very vocal and armed in Afghanistan. So we have fire, we have Hurricane Ida. I mean, Ida exploded, as we have been talking about, in incredible intensity. I know many of you probably saw some of the video. If you didn't, just imagine your worst fears coming to life, where you see all eight transmitter lines, rather, go down when it comes to electricity in New Orleans. So it plunges New Orleans into darkness and could be that way for a month. You see cars crushed, trees ripped out of their roots, and trust me, there were other places in Louisiana that got it so much worse. So the forecast for Ida was pretty accurate before it smashed into land and then moved across the warm Gulf waters, rather, and it went from, what was it, 85 miles an hour, as I was watching it, to 150 miles an hour
in just 20 hours. So there still are rescue efforts that are happening and will continue to happen, I'm sure, for the next couple of days. There are a lot of people that are lending a hand all over Louisiana, which is wonderful because, as we have talked about, you have alligator waters, you have homes ripped in half, you have people that are missing, you have roads that are washed out. You know, that's pretty much the circumstances in Louisiana. And oh, by the way, this storm, which will be a lot of rain, is headed for Tennessee, which has already been hit so many times, Middle Tennessee especially, and then the Northeast. Pennsylvania is expected to get a lot of rain. That whole Northeast quarter could feel some of what's happened from Ida. So in the meantime, it is about the power off in New Orleans. It is about, you know, fears of looting. It is hurricane floods, Louisiana and Mississippi, and so many people racing to, you know, help the people there. And it's the fifth strongest to ever hit the U.S. I said that the other day in my show, if you missed it. But, you know, there's a thing about ranking, and you look at things that have happened in the past and the comparisons and the records, and just staggering, right? And then Lake Tahoe. I've talked about this a lot. I lived in California, and some of my best memories, frankly, were in Lake Tahoe. It's an incredibly beautiful area in these United States, and I'm sorry if you haven't gotten to see it, because who knows what's going to be left. I mean, it is a popular vacation spot. It is filled with lots of summer tourists from all over the place. But instead, it was people fleeing, and they've been fleeing. So there was just gridlock traffic in the city, of a small city of 22,000. You had that hazy, brown, awful air that smells like you're at a campfire, but you're not. And, you know, you've got so many firefighters that are all in on this, 3,500 firefighters, and air support. And, you know, is it going to happen? In other words, is there a chance that Tahoe can be saved? I think they thought that it wasn't going to happen in the first place because there were so much protection efforts, but there were evacuation orders that you just don't usually hear there. You've got South Lake Tahoe and their main medical center, and dozens of patients had to be evacuated, and the massive Calder fire just grew and grew and grew in one area of the northeast of Highway 50, which is so close. You know, you see that you've got crews, and I said this is such an incredible close-knit group of people. Some of the best people I've met are firefighters. They just give and give and give. And so you've got crews from Utah and Washington and Wisconsin and West Virginia. And you just have more being trained as fast as possible because you got the clearing of the forest debris that you have to do by hand. So imagine what that would take, and imagine the pull on the resources. So Lake Tahoe under evacuation orders, and the skyline is just nasty, nasty, nasty to see. And I think it's something that they really did not expect would happen, hoping they could, you know, fend that off, and we'll see, because so many are there and they're doing everything that they can. So we've talked about it's the end, and we talk about the goodbye as far as American presence in Afghanistan. We talk about Ida and the effects of Ida, and just recapping this for odds and ends, and then, you know, Lake Tahoe, so much to deal with when it comes to Mother Nature, and when it comes to something so gut-wrenching, when you think of the loss of life, and you think of the long occupation in Afghanistan and the beginning of this, which we're coming up on 9/11 again, and, you know, 20 years, 2001, and I have just incredibly vivid, horrible memories of 9/11, being in New York, working in New York, and not realizing in the beginning what was happening. And we'll talk about some of that over the course of this week too, for sure, absolutely. And then I haven't even brushed on, you know, the tug of war that we've been going through in our lives over this pandemic. And the European Union said fun is over. So while there were people that were hoping that they were going to take a trip to Europe, it's not going to happen because there's new quarantines, etc. The EU is reimposing travel curbs on Americans because of the rise in COVID cases. I mean, this is the thing. Nobody wants that to, you know, reach out and grab them. And we see how many people are getting hit with the Delta variant. And then there's another variant, apparently, that is supposedly not as deadly, but, you know, we'll see. So they voted to subject the U.S. to these restrictions on non-essential travel because of the surge. The U.S. had 588 new COVID-19 cases per 100,000 in 2 weeks. That just ended a week or so ago, August 22nd. And, I mean, they're tracking, a week behind, actually, a week and a half behind. And so their recommendation was, you know, who do you let in? What kind of restrictions do you have? And the restriction is, the restriction is there now in place. So, like I said, for people who were desperately trying to squeeze in and were excited, things seemed like they were opening up. That two-week period, if you remember, there were a lot of people that booked trips, and because there was great deals, but the window is closing on that, at least temporarily, and certainly that's what we hope. And just to add more insult to injury, how about this 44-container ship deal? You've heard the story, right? Well, I'm going to tell you. That's why we have odds and ends. 44 container ships are stuck off the coast of California. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. They're stuck outside the ports. And it accounts for about one-third of U.S. imports. And you think about in L.A., you think about a main source of trade with China. So you've got these big, you know, picture this. This is radio. Blue, beautiful water, palm trees in the background, and oh yeah, all these ships that are bottlenecked, and that's what you got. They're stuck, and of course, there's shipping delays, there's costs that are attached to that, and they're just floating and waiting. And again, this is a familiar scene. It's a supply chain crisis that certainly has been brewing off of several coasts in the world, period, but off the Southern California coast for many months because you have these massive freighters that are waiting for dock space to open up. And those delays start to pile up. And if you've never seen it and you've never been there, it is a sight to see the California ports in Los Angeles and Long Beach, because like I said, they account for about one-third of U.S. imports, and the ports are a primary source of imports from, like I mentioned, China, and they're just clogged. So more congestion than they have could ever imagine in recent years, and part of the problem is the ships are double or triple the size of the ships that were there maybe 10, 15 years ago. You need more trucks, get it, more trains, more warehouses, and so then think of the people you need to do that and think of the shortages. And that's where you also get the supply chain breaking down. There's so many things that it's like a jigsaw puzzle. You start to put it together and you realize, oh, there's a lot of missing pieces. There's so many missing pieces because of this pandemic. That's why. All right, stay with us. We're going to introduce you to a woman who has really gone through it when it comes to alcoholism, and her father and her family and her story will really, really grab you, and her book as well. So stay with us.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of Trustlink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Judith Stein joins us now. She's written a book called Worth Saving. Hey, Judith, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is wonderful. Thank you.
So, Worth Saving, tell us about the book. What made you write this book?
Well, I'm not an author. I'm an artist. But I needed to process my life after 22 years of growing up with an alcoholic father. And then when my mother passed, there was never a time in my life I wasn't caring for my mother. And then when she passed, this grief came to my door and would not leave. It was unexpected. It was horrible. So I decided to sit down and write because I had created journals in the past for people that were sick. And I created journals for myself during the caring for my mother for 7 years. I wrote everything down that I did to stimulate her. She had severe dementia. So I decided to write for myself. And so I just sat down and I made three separate columns. One was forgiveness from age 8 to 12. One was pain from 12 to 15. And one was anger from 15 to 22. And I just started writing. And I would just sit down and write because I was getting to the point where I was wearing my mother's pajamas. I was sleeping on the floor. I mean, we were getting bad here. This grief was not leaving me. So from the age of 8, I realized that there was something wrong at my house. And I was at a Catholic school, so I would run into church and ask God to please help me forgive. And my father was a drinker. But understand, He had six brothers. They were a German family, a good Christian Catholic German family. The Monsignor was their best friend. But what they did is they would sit around the table at night and have a shot in the beer and listen to the radio.
Mm.
None of them thought they were alcoholics. Two of them passed from alcoholic poisoning late in life. But so my father didn't think he was an alcoholic. And people with addiction don't believe they are addicted. They believe they can stop at any time. So when these, I will say, interventions between my mom and dad would happen later on, of course, my father would feel bad and he'd say he wasn't going to do it again. But drinking was never what he thought it was. So I wrote everything from 8 to 12. And then at 12, I started to see pain. And that's why I wrote pain, because now I'm older. I see the pain in my mother's eyes. I see the pain for my siblings. I realized that I'm never going to college. I'm never leaving these two alone. My life was never going to be what I thought. And I wrote and I wrote and I wrote about all that pain. But then at 15, it went to anger. And that is when I experienced what I call a significant emotional event. And I heard my mother screaming, my hair, he's pulling my hair out. And I ran down and I got my trusty broom because that's what I used to beat him. And he ran out the door. I remember this so vividly. I've asked God many times to take this vision away. But he runs out the door and I go to comfort my mother. I know exactly where she is. She's almost down on her knees by the wall in the dining room. And I touch her head and I say, Mother, your hair is here. It's okay. And then I immediately wonder where he is. And I run to the window, and I'm staring out the window, and there's a light post at the end. And I say, hit the post, hit the post. Then you'll die. Please, God. I wanted my father to die.
Mm.
Of course, he didn't. And then I went back to comfort my mother. And I don't remember. She went up the stairs. But the next morning, she was dressed for work. See, we always lived in the projects. This was our first home. So my mother had to go to work. She said all she ever wanted was to be a mother. And when the door slammed behind her was the hardest day of her life. But she was dressed for work. I saw what she went through. And I had to walk with her because I walked to school and she walked to work.
Wow.
She didn't call in sick.
Right.
My mother taught me strength in adversity. But I will tell you, 20 years later, and there's a picture in the book, they had a black tie dinner for my mother. She became the head of the cafeteria for all the schools in that school system. She kept going. She never quit. She knew what she loved, being in the kitchen. She knew, you know, this is good. People, spouses need to know your whole life doesn't have to stop because of things that are happening behind closed doors. And
yeah.
But anyhow, so now I'm getting married. I'm afraid to leave the house. I'm 22. And my dad dances with me at my wedding. And he says, Judy, I will never hit your mother again. And that was in November. And in June, my mother called me. She says, Judy, I need a place to hide. I'm going to divorce your father and he's going to kill me. And so she came to our house to hide. And the stuff went on between attorneys and whatever. But the Monsignor said to my dad, if you get a divorce, Molly will stay in the church, but you will not because it's your fault. You are an alcoholic. You need to admit it. You need to go to AA. So he did. Now, whether he went to stay in the church or because he loved our family, no, he did it because he loved our family, because he joined three different groups. He would go on Saturday mornings, Friday nights at the church, and Sundays at the brunch once a month. And so after 4 months that he was doing this, my mother called and said, your father wants to come home. And she said, your brothers don't give a darn. They don't care what the two of us do. Your sister, she was 8 years younger, so she was only 13. She wanted them to get a divorce. So we're coming to your house. Whatever you say is what we will do. So I was scared to death.
What happened? We want to get to the end of the story. We only have a couple minutes left. What happened?
Okay. I hadn't seen my dad in 6 months. And my dad came in, and his demeanor was so different. He wasn't like the guy that pulled the phone off the hook, off the wall
Wow.
before. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And so my mother, we sat down, and my mother said everything. And then my father said to me very quietly, "Judy, I promise you I will never drink again." And I turned to look at him, and I looked at his eyes. I still see it. In that moment, I loved him. I loved him. I felt sorry for him. I loved him. I wanted to hug him.
Wow.
And I turned to my mother, and I said very calmly, "Mother, Dad has done everything that he was supposed to do. He deserves to come home." And she said, "Oh, but what if he hits me again?" I said, "We'll deal with that at that time. The man has done everything. He deserves to be at home." And there were five other brothers, and they always drank. And we had big to-dos, christenings, birthdays, and the booze flowed everywhere, including at our house when my sister graduated. And there was booze. He never drank. He said, "Just because I don't drink doesn't mean they can't drink." He never touched a drop.
Wow.
And it wasn't until he passed that we found out all the wonderful things he did. But when my mother turned 94 and she had dementia, I decided to bring her home. I decided she was not going to go to a home. Wow. And I had no clue how to care for her. And I wrote in the book all the things you get for help and what you don't get and whatever. But I kept a copious journal of how I stimulated her for those years.
So let me stop you because I don't want to run out of time. And again, the book, this is Judith Stye we're talking to, Worth Saving. You have all these stories about redemption and the wonderful story you just told us about your father, how he came through it, and then you accepted him and all the forgiveness. And there's lots of tips in this that can help people. What do you hope within just a couple of minutes as we wrap this up that people take away reading?
I wanted this book to be free. I wanted every alcoholic to read it. Every journey is hard. I wanted them to see my dad's journey. I wanted them to keep going and not quit, even with everybody drinking around him. I wanted people never to put their mother in their home and to see all the things I did. I wrote journals for 7 years of every way that I stimulated her, even when she didn't know me. And people said, "She doesn't know your name." And I said, "I know hers." I just want them to see, don't give up love. It's all about love. I prayed to God. And what did he give me? Love for my dad.
Yeah, and there you go, and getting very emotional, and that's great. It's raw. The book is raw. It tells you everything.
Let me tell you why the book is called Worth Saving, because I wanted my father to die. But then when I saw what he was like, I said to God, he was worth saving.
Yeah.
And that's how I came up with the name of the book.
Wow, and that brings it full circle, Judith. Thank you for bearing your soul and telling everybody things that can happen, how you can come out on the other side. And this is a book you can get on Amazon and, of course, Barnes & Noble. Thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. I always wanted to give the book away, but alcohol, AA, said it would be soliciting. And I wouldn't have written it if I didn't want to get the message out. And when the book was written, one of the authors called me and said, "Where's your book?" And I said, I can't do it. She said, "Remember your audience. This book is not about you. It's about your audience.
Yep,
right.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Judith. And thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.